To start off with, one of the reasons I'm working with the Jewish people is because my forefathers were Jewish, and they lived right about there on the Iberian Peninsula, either on the Spanish or the Portuguese side. We're not sure which one. After they got kicked out of there in the late 1400s, they went to Amsterdam, and then in the late 16 or early 1700s, they came to New Amsterdam, which is New York, and there it is. I have a real passion for giving the gospel to the Jewish people. They really, really, if they don't believe Jesus is the Messiah, he says, "You shall die in your sins if you believe not that I am he." And that means the same thing to the Jew as it means to the Gentile. So anyway, in 1972, I went to Tennessee Temple Bible College in Chattanooga, Tennessee. Actually, it was 1971. Got married in 1971. We're going to be celebrating our 53rd wedding anniversary in May, the 21st. And in the second year there, Dr. Jacob Gardenhouse asked me if I would work with his ministry there. I don't know if any of you all remember Dr. Gardenhouse. You'd have to be pretty old to remember him. But he was Jewish, and he had a passion for the Jewish people himself. And so we started working with him. We located about 1,000 Jewish families in Chattanooga, Tennessee, and started an evangelistic outreach to them. My wife and I, we made a commitment before we got married that we're going to serve the Lord, and we have. It'll save a lot of problems if the Lord is the go-between sometimes. But you will stick together. Okay, it does work. Okay. So now in 2004, we're still working just as hard as we were back in those days, except we have to do things over and over again. Okay. Yes, if you know what I mean there. We raised our family as not as Messianic Jews, but as New Covenant Jews. And there's a world difference between Messianic Jews and New Covenant Jews. We tried working with Messianics, and they would rather stay in the Old Testament. I really love the New Testament. The New Testament is fulfilling the Old Testament. So anyway, there's my oldest son, Daniel. This is about 1973 or 74. And 40 years later, Daniel retired from the United States Navy. He was a Navy chaplain, and he retired as lieutenant commander. And then he went to work for the federal prison system. And he was ordained a Messianic rabbi. The federal prison systems, they didn't have anybody that could work with Jewish people that wanted to know about Christ. So he's the only one, and he's the go-to guy all the other chaplains wanted to, what do I do with these people? Well, he's convinced now that he wants to just stay a new covenant, a new covenant rabbi. Anyway, a couple of people here know what I'm talking about. My family, why is this thing making a loud noise? Okay, I was going to show films, but I'll just show you. This is my family a couple of years ago, Daniel and Samuel and Joseph and Abigail. This whole bunch of the Zimmerman clan, we're all saved, every one of us. And I do believe in eternal security, so we're going to everybody's going to go up together one of these days, and that's a wonderful thing. Some of the places that we worked in our ministry, we started off in America because we did speak the language, and we worked with many, many, many churches, trying to teach churches how to reach the Jewish community. While I was in the Bible College there at Tennessee Temple, with all these 3x5 cards with Jewish names and addresses on them. We called in the big visitation program. You know, people don't do visitation much anymore, knocking on doors. It's not safe anymore. One of my pastor friends, someone pulled a gun on him and said, don't ever come to my door again. Anyway, in those days, it was easy. In 1971, 2, 3, 4, and 5, and such. And we got about 20 of the students to come up and say, yes, we want to go visit Jews. So I had all these 3x5 cards, and I said, okay, you two, you go here, and a couple of you go here. And they just stared at me like, oh, what are you talking about? You go here and you go here. Aren't you going with us? I said, no. And they said, we're not going. We have no idea what to say to a Jewish person. So I found out right quick that if the best, I know I'm not going to phrase this properly, but let's just say it like this. The best of the best don't have any idea how to reach Jewish people. What hope does a Jew ever have of getting the gospel? And so we made it a point to teach churches how to reach out to their Jewish friends. Everybody has a Jewish friend somewhere. Even if it's Jesus, okay. And the places we worked, of course, here with hundreds and hundreds of churches in America. And then when the Iron Curtain fell, we went over many, many Jews didn't want to say they were Jews in the the former Soviet Union because you get killed real easy. And so we went over to this right here, this little. Now you can't see my little marker. Let me do it like this. My laser pointer. We worked in Ukraine, Odessa, Ukraine, and the villages around Odessa. And then we worked in Chisinau, Moldova, mainly in Chisinau. We got out to the rural area, but not near like we did in Ukraine. And then Lithuania. And then we worked in Israel. And then we worked a little bit in Japan. And then you can't see it, but can you see my little fur ball here?
Yes.
This way, there's an island called Saipan, okay? Has anybody ever been to, you've been to Saipan? Okay, there's another one. Tinian is, you could swim over to Tinian if you wanted to swim it. But we were asked to come to Saipan because the pastors, Chinese pastors, could leave mainland China and go to Saipan because of the textile mills. And so a really great man of God, Dr. Christian Wei, he set up a nice college or a Bible college. And guess what? There were 7 Jews living on Saipan. 7 Jews. They came to my lessons. Anyway, and we worked with I don't know, maybe about 150 Chinese pastors from all the provinces in China as they went back. The Chinese people really, really do love and pray for the Jewish people. There is actually a great harvest over in China right now. Now, here's what I was going to talk about this morning. I had 8 things I was going to say, and I got it all worked out last night before I went to bed at about 10 o'clock, and I woke up about 3:30 and started thinking, gee, I need to cut back on this, okay? What do I really want to talk about? So I threw out about 5, okay? But I'm not going to show you any slides on these. You know, when you're a missionary for 52 years, you got a lot to say, okay? And I love to teach. And anyway, I was going to tell you and show you how the Jewish people, many of them that have been saved through our ministry, through the churches. We never did and never have wanted to start a Jewish church. I personally don't believe that is scriptural, okay? Because there's no difference in the church between a Jew and a Gentile. Now, I never told anybody that I was Jewish until about 8 years ago. Because all the time I was at Tennessee Temple, when a Jewish man would come in, oh, wow, a Jew, can I touch you? Oh, you're so great. I'm so happy. Here's the sons of Abraham. Well, how about the guy that doesn't even have shoes on? You know, I didn't want that to happen. But because of the Hebrew scrolls and working here where we're at now, I use it as a tool, kind of like Paul did. They were going to kill Paul. Remember when he brought, I don't remember, maybe Timothy, somebody into the temple area, and they said, let's just kill him. And Paul, he pulled out his trump card and said, hey, I'm a Roman. Oh, we'll back off from you. Well, it works. I can go down to Kabod, downtown here, and I can stand right in front of the guy. We call him Black Hats. I can stand right in front of him and say, how you doing? And it used to be that you kind of got to look up at him and they'd look down at you. But I'm on the same ground they are. So we teach people how to reach the Jews. And it has worked. Oops, got to go back to that one because I've got to talk about the other ones. Okay. We would do a lot of training missionary candidates. When you've got all the things God has given us, it's not, this treasure that we have is not in the earth. God has given us something in our earthen vessels. It's not our wisdom or anything that we have or we got something special. God is what is special. And so we do have what he has given us, and it's a lot he's given us. And so we train a lot of people that want to be missionaries to the Jewish people, and it has worked. Several of them have been missionaries to the Jewish people as a result of that. Particularly one I'll mention now. I was going to show you his picture, Leroy Goodman. I hope you know what your gift is from God. I know what mine is. I have two of them. One of them is I really enjoy, but while I'm doing it, I'm comfortable. When I'm not doing it and thinking I've got to go do it, I am scared to death. One of my gifts is teaching. I love to teach, but I'm always just scared to death. Before and after. Okay. The other gift is giving. That we have had so much fun. There's a Christian businessman gave us enough money to buy over 100 Hebrew scrolls, and he said, give them away. And everybody thinks I'm rich. Anyway, it's been fun. Now, the next thing I'm not going to show pictures of is when the Iron Curtain fell, back in, it was kind of like 1986, 1988, I said, I am really, really sick and tired of working in the ministry trying to reach Jews. And so I was going through some real, depression, whatever it would be. And the verse that I used to say I am a missionary of the Jews comes out of Isaiah chapter 6. And here's Isaiah, and he's standing before God, and he sees these seraphim and huge, gigantic angels that are so powerful you'd fall down dead in their sight. And they're talking about holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. And then he goes on to say, wow, am I ever in trouble now? You know, when you get close to God, it gets pretty hard on you. I was thinking now, I hope you don't take this wrong, and maybe I do Bible studies all the time in my thinking, and it's all I do. And I've been thinking, boy, I had more fun when I was a carnal Christian. Okay. Now I just work, 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 and I know how bad I am. There's always the bottom, where your anchor holds, and it is my salvation. It works. Anyway, so Isaiah said, woe is me, and God fixed him. And then God says, I need somebody to go do something, and he says, can I do it? And that's what I did. I volunteered to be a missionary to the Jews. You can volunteer for service. And then I guess Isaiah started thinking, how long do I have to do this? Okay. right here in verse 8, well, he said, I heard the voice of the Lord saying, who shall I send? And he said, here am I, send me. He says, go. And then in verse 11, then said I, Lord, how long? That's where I was at in 1986 or 88. I forget the year. I thought I wanted something easy. I'd like to be a pastor. And I'll never have a crowd like you that would love me. You love your pastor. I can't have a church. Anyhow, so I thought, well, okay, God, what am I going to do? Well, you know what God did for me? I have to think, maybe it was me. Could have been you. Could have been another reason. The Iron Curtain fell, just for me. Okay, and other people. Because when the Iron Curtain fell, the Russians, the Jewish people from the former Soviet Union, those that could take off, took off. And they were supposed to go to Paris at the airport and go down to Israel. They got to Paris and they came to the United States, which is good for me. Because the Russian Jews are so easy to talk to. And they were so easy to talk to that I went to college again. I've been going to college since 1971, okay? And I took the Russian language. And the class was full, 27 people. I think the next day, we went to class three times a week. That was been Monday, Wednesday. There might have been 12, okay? And then it kind of leveled out about 8 or 9. And if you've ever studied, Russian is based on Greek, but it's kind of harder than Greek, maybe. But anyway, I did it. I've studied Russian, the Russian language, for probably 25 years. Anybody here speak Russian? I need a tutor. Oh, I've had some good tutors. If you ever want to study a foreign language, you want to get somebody that is tough. You don't want an easy tutor. And I had Svetlana Gukman. And she came from Baku, then St. Petersburg, and she was a teacher. And I was too old to study a foreign language. I started studying Russian when I was 48. And everybody said, at 50, you're not going to make it. The big deal is vocabulary words, okay? And but anyway, so at Lana Gukman, after I did all I could in college, and I got this private tutor. And here I was, 48 years old, and she was somewhere more than I was. And, you know, when I was writing something, at first I was writing in block, the block Hebrew, and she said, you're not a kid. Script. How many of you kids don't know how to write script now? You know, my grandkids don't even know how to script their name. Somebody's really messed up the kids around here. And so I can do that now. And I remember one time I made a mistake and I scratched it off. She's erased that. And I thought, listen here, lady, I'm 48 years old and I'm paying you to teach me. Yes, ma'am. We got lost in Odessa, Ukraine one time, and here we were. We had no idea where we were, but we did know there was a McDonald's. And so we stopped a guy as we were walking, and I said, where's the McDonald's? And I told him all this in Russian. I said, I'm lost. Where's the McDonald's? He said, right over there. it works. So I'm not going to show you any pictures of that, our work in Russia. But number four, printing has been a really big part in our ministry because we use so many gospel tracts, and I'm still printing. Here's one I really like. I've had this for quite some time. But it's now in vogue. I guess vogue is the right word. SETI, shocking discovery, search for extraterrestrial intelligence. Is there extraterrestrial intelligence? I absolutely believe that there are quite a bit of entities that are not from planet Earth. God didn't come from planet Earth. The devil didn't come from planet Earth. The angels didn't come from planet Earth. We did. So you ought to take one of these. Anyway, what do you believe about what Satan's doing with UFOs? Our aircraft carrier, I worked on the flight deck of USS America back at the LSO platform, and one day we were crossing the Mediterranean going over to, no, we were crossing the Atlantic going to the Mediterranean, and right out about in the middle of the Atlantic, at 9 o'clock at night, we had flight quarters. And they shot off, I don't know if it was probably two Phantoms, F-4 Phantoms. And they flew around, and then they came back. And the next night, same thing, about the same time, they shot off some F-4s, came back. And the third night, everybody's saying, what are they doing? They said, they're chasing something, okay? There's something gigantic blue ball that's dropping white balls. Well, how's that going to work out? You know, it does say, and I think it's Timothy. I get Timothy and Thessalonians mixed up at my age. Okay, and I know that the verse that when man of perdition is here, he's going to have great lies and wonders, and they're going to explain some things that this entity that you call God, there's others. And what he's going to say when he walks into the temple in Jerusalem at the abomination of that. Do you know what the abomination of desolation is? It is a specific thing that he's going to do. He's going to walk into the temple that's built in the middle. He's going to, in the middle of the tribulation, and he's going to sit down in the temple and say, I'm God. There's only one place to sit in the temple, and that's on the ark. And he's going to say, I'm God. And he's going to have a lot of power. My wife was telling me yesterday that her phone was telling her, you're not supposed to be on the phone, you're in the car. Has your phone ever talked to you like that? My TV talked to me like that one time. I had one of those things that you talk to your little clicker, and I was had there was a I turned the channel, and all of a sudden they started cussing really bad, and I was trying to get off this thing, and I think the clicker thought that I was that was me talking, and the TV said, well, that's not very nice. Well, there's going to be an AI that's going to be absolutely powerful in the middle of the tribulation. So I'm not going to show you pictures on that. Okay. And the Soviet Union. Yeah, we built a couple of print shops over there. The print shop we built, because we loved it, gospel tracts work. They still do. I don't know if you have a track rack, but you really need to have one. And they still work. And so when we went over to the Soviet Union, we were carrying, in those days, you carry 70-pound suitcases, two of them, and there was no extra charge. And they always put heavy on mine, okay, full of gospel tracts. And that 70-pound suitcase would run out of tracts in just about probably 2 or 3 days. And so we said, this is not smart. Let's build a print shop. And we did. And the print shop we built, I'm not showing you the pictures of them today, but But that print shop grew and grew and grew. And since the war with between Ukraine and Russia, that print shop has printed the last I got was over 3 million gospel tracts. And they're sending them all over Ukraine and Moldova. It works. Okay, now here's what I am going to talk about. Number five, the face of the Lord. And that's what this is. This is what I'm doing. Two things in my ministry now that is very important to me that I need to finish. And I'm 77, okay. I thought I was going to die at 25 when I was a kid. My mother was a nurse, and I got a hold of one of the books telling you all the diseases. I thought I'm going to die of elephantitis at the age of 25. And then after I started serving the Lord, I said, there's a really neat verse in Psalms that says you get to live to be 70, and I can't wait to go to heaven. I don't know how many of y'all would really like to go to heaven. I would. Now, my wife doesn't like for me to say this, but I'm tired. I'm tired. I work a lot because I want to, because I think God wants me to. So anyway, and I do, I forget a lot of things. I forgot where I was talking about. Face of the Lord. Okay. I'm not going to talk about the messianic work, but I'll talk about it. I'm not showing you any pictures about it. The messianic work, we started working with the Jewish people, my forefathers, back in 1972. And then we found out those that have accepted Christ as their Savior, they have some real problems. And the churches we were working in, there was no problem there. But we never did work with the Messianic movement until we moved to Texas. We brought all of our scrolls to Texas and set up a museum down in Glen Rose, Texas. And then we set up a museum in Dallas. And because of that, I started telling people I was Jewish, because these are the pride and joy, the jewels, right there, right here, the Hebrew scrolls. And so we started working with one Messianic rabbi, and I thought, this guy is spot on. I mean, he debated the anti-missionary movement. He could debate that group and the Chabad. He could debate all these things, and he was good at it. But then he became famous, and he started pulling in Gentiles. He was doing a good job just working with the Jews, because you have to do that. If you're going to live in Israel and you're going to reach the higher echelon, you have to do these things. That's what Paul said. To the Jew, I act as a Jew. To the Gentile, I act like a Gentile. And so he pulled a lot of Gentiles into this thing, and I said, no, I'm not doing that. Yeah, maybe 6-7 years ago, Congregation Beth Messiah, I had several scrolls that had mold on them, and I have lots of scrolls, old scrolls. And I called Congregation Beth Messiah, because I you have to put these scrolls in a gazine, so you can't throw them away, okay? And I says, do you have a Geniza that you can, that's a mausoleum in a graveyard where they put these scrolls. And I said, I've got some that has mold on it. Would you like to have them? Said, oh, absolutely. Yeah, I'll bring them right over. And they fixed them. I didn't have time to fix them. They did. And the Messianic work didn't work. None of it did. But when I was going there, one day I was standing out in the vestibule with the men, And I'm not all as bright. You know, if you wear a suit, you don't have to talk. If you don't talk, they think you're bright. Okay. So I was standing there, and we were all talking, and I says, I'm having the hardest time to find some good fried shrimp. And they all looked at me like, and it took me a little bit to figure out what I did wrong. You can't eat shrimp. You can't eat catfish. There are a lot of things you can't do if you want to get under the law. But anyway. Now, number 7, Hebrew Scrolls and Starting Bible Museums. That's what I'm going to talk about. The archaeology work in Israel, it is more fantastic than I can possibly say, except in 2004, my wife and I, someone paid our way over to Israel for an archaeological dig, and it was 2005, because in 2004, this group went over there, and they were the very first ones to do any excavation in the Pool of Siloam. And one of the guys, I can't remember his name, a good friend of mine, he found the coin pre-70 AD. And so our group, my wife particularly, and the other ladies, they were out in 2005. They were digging around on the Pool of Siloam. And some of the younger men, I was too old for this, but some of the younger men, they started looking at the cracks in the rocks, and they say, we think there's a tunnel here. And so Eli Shukran, they said, he was working with us. He said, yeah, go ahead, do what you need to do. And they busted into this, and they found one of Hezekiah's tunnels that had never been found. And so for the first time in 2,000 years, they broke through one of Hezekiah's tunnels. And for the first time in 2,000 years, water is coming out. I got a lot of pictures of this stuff. Okay. Now here's working in the churches. I think I didn't... I wasn't going to show pictures of this, but we do work with a lot of churches. Each church would work with a church for maybe 6 months to a year, and then move on to the next church and move on to another church. We've been to several churches in the Houston area. We're looking for a church now that we could teach for about half a year or a year. And this is a Passover Seder that we had. We started off with 12 people, then 125 people, and 250, and it leveled off at 360 people. My wife has cooked 9,000 pounds of lamb, serving 18,000 people, and we get to lock these people in because I have used visual aids, like a magician, okay, because they like to see stuff, and we can get them in there, and they'll listen for 2.5 hours. Well, I didn't not realize I was showing the pictures of some of these Jewish people that we led to the Lord. Okay, let's move on to the Hebrew Scrolls. How many of y'all heard this saying that Isaiah 53 is the gospel in a nutshell? Okay, there's one. The Isaiah 53 is the gospel in a nutshell. Do anybody know where Isaiah is? I'm kidding you guys, okay. Yeah, it's Isaiah, Jeremiah, just before Jeremiah. Okay, it really is. If you want to have a passage of scripture that you say, I've got a Jewish friend, I have no idea what to give my Jewish friend. Let me just say this, preface this. You can't do anything wrong if you have prayed, asked the Lord to help you, and you're a Christian, and you don't have determined to do anything hurtful, but it's spiritual. You can't goof up. That's what it says in 1 Corinthians 15. Your labor is not in vain. And so if you want something to give to your Jewish friend, I have thousands upon thousands of pictures like these on my website. And I designed this for teachers. And teachers all over the world, they're high enough resolution that you can copy this, take it down to Office Max and say, put this on a nice colored sheet and laminate this thing and send that to your Jewish friend. When you show the Hebrew, they can't throw this away. Some of the gospel tracts that we've printed over the years, we'd put Jehovah. Why? Because they don't have a J. Okay, Jehovah on the cover. And we were mailing out something like 8,000 tracts every 6 weeks. And we were getting cussed out all the time. One preacher down in Oklahoma City, he says, Gary, this guy just cussed me out something horrible. And he says, I can't even throw this thing away. It's got God's name on it, and I have to take it to the cemetery and bury it. They won't throw it away. And this is the complete gospel right here. Okay. And the little yod is the Hebrew word for hand. It's pointing right to, it's called Mi Ha'amin. Mi means who? Amin. How many of y'all know what amen, we call amen or amen? Or do you know what that word means? I believe that. Who believes this? Of course, you might want to have English beside it because most American Jews don't know Hebrew too good, but they will, they'll like this. 1976. Finished all of our deputation and raising money to go be missionaries. We were working in St. Louis. There were 70,000 Jewish people in St. Louis. And the pastor of the church we were working in said, Gary, would you do a 6-night series? In those days, you could do that on weeknights. You try that today, okay? Y'all, come on, we're having a barbecue, and I'm not making fun of anybody. Things change. They just change. And we were staying at a friend's house, and I told Gerald Barrett, I said, Gerald, I don't have the slightest idea how to get a 6-lesson series. And he said, I just found a chapter in the Old Testament that has 6 lessons. And he says, it's in Leviticus 23. And so I took my Bible and I went down. You could have basements in St. Louis. And there you can live in the basements because they're dry. And so I went down to the basement and I studied all day long. And sometime in the evening, I came out. And this is the most fantastic portion of scripture that I've ever found in the scriptures. This is the complete new covenant. You see this little thing here? Let me highlight it. This thing has a little finger pointing. It's called a yod, and it's pointing to the beginning of Leviticus 23. And then, over here, it's pointing to the end. Oh, okay. Between here and here is from Matthew chapter 1 to Revelation chapter, 22 chapters now? Anybody over 77 years old, you know what I'm talking about. Okay. The whole thing, every single bit of it. Now, I gave you this card. And here's what it looks like. Now, I did have trouble getting the... I am in so many churches, you would not believe it. And every church is different. And so I was... Last night, I was thinking, artist, do I need to do the rectangle screen or the square screen? How many teachers use PowerPoint? I use it all the time. And this is square, okay? But it's not supposed to be square. It's supposed to be rectangle. So it's not as good as I want it to be. I'm a perfectionist. That's one of my problems. Okay, so here it is. This word here, kol, means the group. Ecclesia means the group, the church age. And in Leviticus chapter 23, you have, I teach six. Now, there are a few other things that you could teach, but I just stick with the six. In the very first lesson here, let me go back if you don't mind. Right, oh, I got to get my little fur ball going here. Well, maybe I can't do the fur ball one. Nope, I can't. Well, anyway, let's just look at this. The very first feast is Pesach, Passover. And that is the crucifixion of the Messiah. The second feast is Omer Rashith, the Omer, which is about a gallon of grain, gallon of barley grain, is the Omer of the harvest. And it is the resurrection. The next one, number three, is Shavuot. Shavuot means sevens. And so there's seven sevens plus one. That's 50 days. And that is Pentecost. The next one is Teruah. It's the rapture. And it's also called a mystery feast. And then the next one is Yom Kippurim. It's a day of atonement. This is the tribulation. And the very last one is Sukkoth, Tabernacles. It's the kingdom age. I am going to talk about this for the next few minutes. All the Old Testament was given to help the world get to not destroy itself and get to the point where the Messiah was going to come. And it was a schoolmaster to bring us to Christ. And when Christ came, he changed a lot of the law. He wasn't a Levite, yet he is the high priest. So many things have changed. And so in the Old Testament, this is just a shadow. The Jewish people have been doing this for 3,500 years, and God bless them for... They are... I don't want to take time to preach a sermon on this. But they're still doing this. They're still, now they don't have, none of the feasts, the Jewish people can't keep any of the feasts because they don't have any offering, none. On Yom Kippur, I don't know where you were for Yom Kippur. Did you know that it's not Yom Kippur, it's Yom Kippurim, and you know the mem on the back of the im? It means over and over and over and over again. Because it didn't work the first time. It didn't work the second time. It didn't work the third time. And when Jesus offered himself as the Lamb of God, it worked, and he's not doing it again. One time. And so this is the shadow. And working with the Messianic Jews, they think, how can you, oh, you Christians. I have about 1,500 Messianic Jews have friended me on Facebook because they like see scrolls. And they're not talking specifically to me, but they say, oh, the Christians, they haven't kept a single one of the feasts. And I write back, and I give them my little visual aid, and I say, we've kept them all, okay? Jesus said in Matthew chapter 5, I did not come to destroy the law. I came to fulfill it. There's something much better than having my wife cook 9,000 pounds of lamb. You don't have to do that anymore. Now, they will start doing a Passover again in the book of Ezekiel because in the book, let me see why. Because this is during the millennium, and there are a lot of people that are not saved. And it's complicated. Anyway, there it is. So instead of doing that, we have the Lord Jesus Christ. I don't have time to talk about all this. But the second feast is the Omer Rasheith. See that little lamb standing in a little bowl? Okay. That bowl is 2,000 years old. It's in my office. And one day I filled it full of barley. And it came from Jerusalem. And this is an Omer. That's about how much an Omer is. It's almost a gallon. And what they were supposed to do for this feast, the barley harvest, they were supposed to go out and take this much. They had to winnow it. They had to, cut it, thresh it, and winnow it. And then they lifted it up to the Lord. And God said in Leviticus 23, I will accept that. And that's exactly, instead of the going out and doing this over and over and over again, one time Jesus rose from the dead. He's not rising from the dead again. He doesn't have to. And he brought, there's so much information here. You know, when we have Easter, we're missing 9/10 of this feast. Some Christians think Jesus went to hellfire because he had to take the suffering for us. He did not. He went to paradise. And there's so much there. Anyway, when Jesus arose from the dead, he led captivity captive in the heart of the earth where Abraham's bosom is, and paradise is called. And then over on the other side was the place of torments. When Jesus rose, he led captivity captive, and all the souls in paradise came up. But there were about this many, let me get my little fur ball here again, about this many came up in their glorified bodies and they walked around Jerusalem. And then when Jesus went on, he says to Mary, don't touch me, I haven't yet gone to my Father. And when he went up, he took them up, and when he took all the souls and the glorified bodies, who do you reckon was in this Omer? It had to be Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and Job, and all the people that have special names. He took them up. The next feast is called Shavuot. And this is what happened. This feast teaches you what happened to you when you got saved. Something happened to you that cannot unhappen. Let me see if I can get this thing to work. There it goes. What happened in the Garden of Eden? Let me see if I can back this thing up. Okay, there. Adam was and Eve were dead in body, soul, and spirit. They were dead. What does that mean? Death in the English language doesn't really work well here. They were separated from God. They were separated from life. And when you get born again, you will be reconnected. The Bible says in John chapter 3 that except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. You can't enter heaven unless you're born again. Why? Because you can't go to heaven in the image and likeness of Adam. The image and likeness of Adam was dead, 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 body, soul, and spirit. Now that you're reconnected by the new birth, the Holy Spirit is inside you. You're sealed. You can't get out if you want out. You know, sometimes we have kids that said, I don't like you anymore, Mom and Dad. I'm going to leave. They're still kids. No matter what your son or daughter does, they are still your kids. And when you're one of God's kids, he will correct you, and he goes on to say that if you don't straighten up, I'm going to bring you on home. You can't get out of this. So the feast of Shavuot, Pentecost, tells us, how in the world am I going to live? Does anybody have problems wondering how in the world am I going to live now that I'm a Christian? This is a big deal for me. I don't know about you. Really a big deal. And then there's the next feast. This one's called a mystery. There's nobody would ever known this feast if Paul hadn't written 1 Corinthians chapter 15. The Jews call this New Year Day. And then there's going to be the next one. It's called the Time of Jacob's Trouble. In our Bibles, it says the Tribulation. And it's coming. And then right after that is going to be Sukkoth, the Feast of Tabernacles. And you're going to stand before God. When I was a kid and my dad got home, we went out the back door. Did you know that you can get a crown just for being glad to see Jesus? That's what it says in the book of 2 Timothy. All them that love his appearing, you will get a crown. And so, God's given you something to do. You better do it. Shouldn't have said it like that. You should want to do it. This guy got one, and he says, I got 10 now. This guy got one, and he says, well, I got 5 now. And this guy got one, and he says, I was scared to death. I didn't do anything. Just do something. Even when I was a carnal Christian, one time in Sao Paulo, Santa Ana, we lived, I was a hippie, sort of, okay, out in San Francisco. I worked at Memorex. And the guy that we arrived to work with, he just got he was a gunner on a helicopter in Vietnam. And I said to him, listen, I've got something really good to tell you. And I said, I'm going to tell you Friday night. We're going to get some mescaline. I'm going to tell you. Okay. I was a carnal Christian. You know, carnal Christians can do a whole lot of bad stuff. I wish I hadn't have. But I'm glad I did this one thing. Okay. So anyway, that night, he said, okay, tell me, what do you got to say? And I said, Jesus died for your sins. You can go to heaven. He said, where in the world did that come from? I thought we were going to take some dope. Okay. And he says, God couldn't take me to heaven. He says, when I was in Vietnam, I had a Gatling gun in that helicopter. And we'd go through the villages, and it was like I had a fire hose just sweeping the ground. And he says, I got to liking that. He says, God couldn't forgive me from that. I said, well, okay, he forgave Paul. He was going out to kill a bunch of Christians down in Damascus, and that guy and his wife got saved. Do something. Just do something for the Lord. You will be judged not for your sin. Your sin has been judged already. Jesus Christ took our sin and he was punished. And you will not go to heaven and stand before God and he's going to take the belt off, or maybe have some big angel get the belt. Okay. And boy, look what you did. You're going to really get it. Nope. It's already been paid for. What's going to happen is you're not going to have any rewards. But it says, you'll suffer loss, but he himself should be saved, yet so is by fire. Anyway, I've got 4 minutes to talk about Hebrew scrolls. Okay. What are Hebrew manuscripts? This one here you're going to be looking at here, 135 feet long. I've had 100 of these. This Christian businessman, he gave me $350,000 to buy these scrolls, to cut them up. You say, how could you cut them up? Because they can't be used anymore. They can't be used. They have to go to the Geniza. There was a sofer, that's a scribe, just 2 weeks ago said, Gary, you need to put these things back in the Geniza. Anyway, we cut them up and we frame them and we give them away. We've given them away all over the world. I'm just going to show you. I'm not even going to talk. I'll just show some slides. I've got 3 minutes. This is the one I'm working with right now. This one came from the Balkans area. It's an amazing, amazing scroll. This is the full set I have at my office. It's every single scroll that's in the Old Testament. Every one of them. We show them all over the place. I'd like to show them here. It's a lot of work, but it's worth it. Two minutes. It's the governor of Saipan, Fudan University in Shanghai. I'm just about finished. Right now, I got 1.5 minutes. Okay. We were going to give this sheet to the Naval Air Station in Pensacola, Florida. There's a rabbi, a new covenant rabbi there, a good friend of mine. And I said, he's a commander. He's the command chaplain on the base. He said, we'll get this and we'll put this on the wall and like you did at Camp Lejeune. And just as we were gonna drive down there, the admiral stopped us, okay. I never had an admiral stop me before. he stopped and says, no, we can't do this. This war has just started and we're gonna have to think longer about this thing. JAG took over and just about a week ago, they said, okay, you can do it now. And what it is, we had a scroll of Isaiah and one of the verses here says, they shall mount up with wings as eagles. Going to lose about 10 seconds here. There's a big strike, the F-15 Strike Eagles have a base there. And they take up with wings as eagles and they're helping Israel. Man, they are really, really, really helping them. And in the next few weeks, they're going to fly us in on this time. I drove it last time. It's hard to bring this thing in. Okay, I'm 1 minute over. I'm sorry. Our Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for giving me this time to teach. I pray you'd bless each one that's here. Please give them wisdom and knowledge of some of the things that I've tried to communicate about today. And thank you again for letting me be in this church. In Jesus' name I ask this. Amen.
Big thank you to Gary for coming out today. So much appreciate him. Thank y'all for being here. You're dismissed. If you would, I'm sure it would be fine to come by and look at everything that's up here. So I know probably you would like to take a better look at it. So Feel free to do that. Second service starts at 11. So if you haven't been to service yet, you have to go. You have to be there. Otherwise, thank y'all for being here. You're dismissed.